Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I would just like to introduce you to Reverend Mark Hutchinson, who's taking today's service. And Mark is the Unitarian Community Minister at Evesham Unitarian Community, and he's involved with the Unitarian Transformers Project since 2022. Prior to that, he was Minister at the Cotswold Group of Unitarians. After the service, we'll be having a questions and answers session with Mark. So I'd ask you to please grab your cup of tea downstairs and bring it back up here so that we can get started promptly again.
Welcome this energy into my body. I welcome this energy for the guidance it brings to the quality, to the direction, and to the understanding of my life. I welcome this energy through my body to all that there is. And with this energy as God, thy will, not my will, be done. We gather as Unitarians, seeking truth, love, meaning, and deep connection. We gather with shared values, yet with individual beliefs. We gather respecting the interconnectedness of all that is. And we gather in community to challenge and be challenged. And I will now light the chalice, the symbol of our open, creedless faith, for holding and being held. Well, good morning. Welcome to spring and a little bit of warmth almost, perhaps. I'm Mark Hutchinson, delighted to be here in Dublin again. And our theme today is silence. So that's me done now for 45 minutes. I'm just going to sit down. I believe that a relationship with silence allows for expressions of divinity and transcendence that provide sustenance to all individuals. And for those who then wish to, the resources to act for a stronger, better world. Let's say together, if we could, the powerful words on the inside of the back of the hymn books, please. Love is the doctrine of this church. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine. This do we covenant with each other and with God. And on this St. Patrick's Day weekend, let's join together for our opening hymn, Be Thou My Vision. And today's reader is Will.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everyone. Today I am going to be reading from this book called Days of Healing, Days of Joy, Daily Meditations for Adult Children. On the inside of the book is written 1st of February 1995, William, that's what I was known as back then, may all, and all is underlined, may all your dreams come true. Good luck, Kira. I found this book on my bookshelf a few weeks ago in February, and my breath was slightly taken away. I went, oh, that's 30 years, oh my goodness. So I'm going to do something that's probably not done that often from up here, which is I'm going to read from March 16th, and I haven't read it yet. So I don't know how many people have come up here to read something that they haven't read yet, but we'll see. But if anyone knows Kira, she went to drama and theatre studies in the 1990s. Will you tell her something from me? Thank you, Kira. And you're right. All underlined my dreams did come true. I lost contact with her, and I don't know where she is. This is March 16th, from the book Days of Healing, Days of Joy. Father, how could you? Why didn't you? If only you would have, dot, dot, dot. And that's a quote from somebody called Glenn D. For adult children, the word father often represents a reality that is both powerful and confusing. For some of us, it is the father we never had. For others, it is the father we wish we never had. Perhaps it is the sun that never shone warm enough to ward off the chill, the voice from on high that never spoke through all the years that we waited, listening. We were taught to pray our Father, and we did. But for many of us, our prayers were pretend words out of a fairy tale. When we said them, we felt only a void and a sense of confusion. Many of the fathers in our homes were unable to provide us with the comfort, security, and warmth we needed to grow. But we do have a Father who knows our needs, recognizes our hopes, and understands our losses. He is unchanging, unfailing, incapable of human failure. Our Father calls each of us by our name. We are not abandoned. And the meditation? Today, I will be open to a different, greater reality than I perceived in the past. I will learn to take comfort in the fatherhood of God.
Thank you, Will. So kind of three short spiritual stories today. Well, maybe the first one's not really a story. It's actually an adapted version of the introduction to Eckhart Tolle's book, Stillness Speaks. A true spiritual teacher doesn't have anything to teach in the conventional sense of the word. Doesn't have anything to give or add to you, such as new information, new beliefs or rules of conduct. The only function of such a teacher is to help you remove that which separates you from the truth of who you are. What you already know in the depth of your being. The spiritual teacher is there to uncover and reveal to you that dimension. But if you're looking for food for thought, or you won't find it, and you'll miss the very essence of the teaching of this book. Us Unitarians do lots of words, I find. Today we'll have a bit more silence. And remember, this is an introduction to a book. It's good to remember the feel of this book as you are listening. The words are no more than signposts. That to which they point is not to be found in the realm of thought. It's not a book to be read from cover to cover and then put away. So pick it up infrequently, but actually, much more importantly, put it down frequently. Pause. Allow the book to do the work. The Vedas and the Upanishads are the only sacred teachings recording in the form of sutras, as are the words of Buddha, And the sayings and parables of Jesus, when taken out of their narrative context, could be regarded also that way. A sutra form is brief. What it doesn't say is as important as what it says. Seems at the moment that the transformation of human consciousness kind of doesn't feel like it's a luxury right now. And so we need, as isolated individuals, to come together and see how that old consciousness shifts. The book's called Stillness Speaks. Let's just take one moment of stillness. Thank you. And the second little story, some of you I'm sure will know, this is Auntie de Mello's story of the guru's cat. And the guru sat down to lead worship each evening, and the ashram cat would get in the way and distract the worshippers. I don't know whether there's a cat in here today, distracting at all. And so the guru ordered the cat to be tied at the back during worship. Don't want to do that today. After the guru died, the cat continued to be tied up during evening worship. And sadly, when the cat expired, another cat was brought in to the ashram so that it could be tied up during evening worship. Centuries later, learned treatises were written by the guru's scholarly disciples on the liturgical significance of tying up a cat while worship is performed. We may return to the guru's cat later. And just to finish, a Hindu story where a student asks the teacher, "What is Brahman?" The teacher stays in a folded position in silence. 2 hours later, the student asked again, "Teacher, please explain to me how I can find or understand Brahman, ultimate reality." Nothing. 12 hours later, the student asked the teacher, exasperated, finally snapped, "Teacher, I have asked you twice already how to find or understand Brahman, and now I have waited long enough. I have received no answer." The guru quietly stood up, finally spoke, "I have been telling you all this time, and you haven't been listening." Let's sing together again. Number 23, Bring Many Names.
Going to begin the next section with Psalm 62, actually, as a prayer and reflection, and then going to try a little period where maybe you might talk to each other, prompted from a couple of questions from myself. We'll see how that goes, and if you don't wish to talk to each other, that's absolutely fine. It just means you've got to listen to me a bit more, but we'll see how that goes, and then we'll finish with some music and silence in reflection at the end. But first, Psalm 62. "Truly my soul finds rest in God, my salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place, they take delight in lies with their mouths they bless. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they're nothing. Together, they're only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, it is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. So, let's see how the conversation goes, or doesn't. And I'd like you to just answer this question, if you can, to somebody sat next to you or behind you, or if you prefer, in your own mind. What is silence? What is silence? I'm happy to listen to the silence of you answering that question, but just chat with anybody you wish to. What is silence? So thank you, everybody. Thank you. Always a risk getting everybody talking. But it's all right. I'm going to invite you to carry on in a minute, so it's all good. It was lovely to see the conversations. It was also lovely to see people just sat there quietly in reflection, however that is for you today, is fine too. So that was the easy question. So now we go to the slightly harder of it. So where is silence? Where is it? Where is silence is the question now. I've got some really good looks up, looking coming back at me there. This might be a very silent conversation. Where is silence? Well, thank you again. Thank you again. I have a feeling I was looking at one or two excavations into silence there, but it could have been discussing Sunday dinner, of course. You know, that's kind of not the point, but, you know, where is silence? And there's one more question, but I'll leave it with you and I'll perhaps come back to it in the address. Why is silence more important than ever? Why is silence more important than ever? Well, we're not going to talk about... Well, shouldn't you want to talk about that? No, we're not going to talk about that. I think it's time to have some silence now. So to take us to our period of silence, some short words from Rumi. We'll then have a silent reflection for your own thoughts, and then Josh will play some music to bring us out of the silence. And from Rumi, now I will be silent, and let silence divide between that which is truth and that which is lies. I enter the silence. I enter the silence. I enter the silence. Robert Sardello, in his book Silence, the Mystery of Wholeness, suggests trying this little practice that I just offered you there. So varying the gaps in a short sentence. It can be whatever sentence you fancy. Well, within reason, I guess. There are probably some sentences that aren't too reflective that you might have in your mind. So varying the gaps, I enter the silence. I enter the silence. Feels very different indeed. And you can notice the changes in that. Now, the suggestion here is to try this for 5 minutes a day. I'm looking round to see if 5 minutes a day seems a bit horrific to people, or whether that's something that's just a breeze. I make no judgment. This is not a place for judgment. But there's something about space here in this statement, isn't there? There's something about the pause. You may recall in the start of Eckhart Tolle's book, there was talk about the pause. So how long should you be in silence? Well, St. Anthony, the Desert Father, sneaked in a quick 20 years. Anybody fancy that? 20 years in silence? How about you little people up there? How do you fancy 20 years in silence? We're getting a shake of the head. How about you out there, 20 years in silence? And there's some amazing pictures of St. Anthony arriving into that silence with monsters and apparently violent colours painted as St. Anthony arrived in the silence. The feeling is that he wasn't ready for the silence. Well, silence can be such a powerful thing. Anybody seen the 2013 film Gravity? Sandra Bullock. I'm getting the odd nod on the head. Any more? Yeah, we've got some more over here. So this is about a space crash, which is all a bit of a disaster. It's not about being in space for 9 months, having thought you had been there for 8 days, which obviously somebody have just had. And the crash scene, you may remember if you've seen it, where everything falls apart is in total silence. So you see this destruction and the fear and the reaction from the people. It's in silence. What power silence has. Let's go back to years. I get the sense that 20 years didn't really work for you. I don't know whether that's right or not. So we'll have another go. Pythagoras. Pythagoras. It was a few years ago, wasn't it, Pythagoras? But I don't know whether you can recall, and I'm struggling to recall, but Pythagoras had a pretty big school of science and maths and study. Yeah? Do we remember that? I know we didn't attend. I know we weren't there. But he had a big school. So, question here, and I'll take answers. How many years... Sorry, got that wrong. I've giveaway. How long did you have to sit in silence before you could start to study at Pythagoras' school? I gave it away with the years, didn't I? I was hoping to get like 30 days or 10 days an answer. And irritating, I got a correct answer. 5 years. 5 years. Now, just get your head around that. If you want to come and study and understand all these fantastic things with me, you've got to sit in silence for 5 years. How's that working? Now, we're still not going well, really, are we? And a different version. So the Jewish practice of sitting shiva after a funeral, which I'm sure many of you will be aware of, but the friends and family go around for 7 days, and the instruction to everybody who goes to the family is to sit in silence and listen and allow those who are mourning to express what they want to express. So we've got 7 days there of silence, or maybe it's just an hour or two of just going to listen in silence. So we've a lot to cope with here, haven't we? It's quite hard, this silence malarkey. You know, how long do we sit in silence for? We've got the impact that it makes, as demonstrated by gravity. And then we've got this pause. And what is this pause? I'm going to try and get this question right now. What in the year 2000 was the average attention span of a human being? We've got 20 minutes. Any other takers? 45 minutes. Well, you know, as ever, it's, you know, I've not researched this research, but 12 seconds I'm given. 12 seconds. And it's now 8 seconds, which is quite worrying, because in the same survey in 2000, a goldfish's attention was 9 seconds. And I've definitely not researched the goldfish's, you know. So I'm going to give you no qualitative empirical evidence that's accurate. But I think the principle can work. Our attention is getting a little worse. So let's just perhaps give you the opportunity of seeing how a little bit of silent attention can go. Thich Nhat Hanh and his book on silence, which is a lovely book, by the way, uses this lovely phrase, enlightened aimlessness. Enlightened aimlessness as a description of entering into silence. And you can imagine a huge catalogue of stuff, of qualities of silence, which you might wish to call enlightened aimlessness. So let's just have a moment of enlightened aimlessness together. Well, I kind of felt a little aimless at that point. I'm not sure I felt particularly enlightened, but maybe some of you did. I don't know. I talked about earlier about the temptations of St. Anthony, and there's an Eisenheim altarpiece where he's in a sky blue cloak, dragged by beasts, and there's a small creature, human-like, laughing in the corner, wearing a red fool's hat. Can you imagine this picture? A red fool's hat pointing to an indiscernible figure in the light somewhere in the corner. Now, this is an image that was a description of how the artist understood St. Anthony was early on in his 20 years. Yeah? Early on in his 20 years. You know, pointing to this light somewhere miles away. Quite a fascinating thing, this silence. Or at least, I feel it is. just going to offer you three quotes. Just I'll say the quote and just a little bit of silence. Henry Nguyen, silence, the furnace of transformation. And from John and Donoghue's Annam Cara, we do not create music, we only create the conditions so she can appear. And from Emily Dickinson, the brain is wider than the sky. Thank you for listening to those and holding the silence, a little bit of silence. Now, if this is all a bit too much, and apologies if it is, a couple of pieces from a book called Silence in the Age of Noise from Norwegian adventurer Erling Kagge. And it's a great little book. He's an explorer, and it's his journey of going on various explorations and recognising the importance of silence through that process. And he quotes Blaise Pascal, who's a 16th century philosopher and boredom theorist, so I understand, a boredom theorist. Not quite sure, but I'm not sure I'd like to be one of those, or you may in fact be bored. I may well be a boredom theorist, I don't know. Written in the 16th century, of course, all of man's problems stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room alone. I can think of a few people I'd like to be sitting quietly in a room alone at the moment, not interfering with the world. And he also quotes an electric shock experiment from a long time ago when we were allowed to do these electric shock experiments. Where people were going to be paid money to sit in silence or take an electric shock. And over half the participants in the end chose to take the electric shock so they could stop sitting in silence. And one poor soul shocked themselves 190 times. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But it was a really interesting description of how people would rather inflict a bit of pain on themselves than sit in silence. But if you want a book that's littered with different ways to invite silence, I heartily recommend that. There's all sorts of stuff in there. The opening words you heard from me when and Josh was playing at the start, a poem prayer. I welcome this energy into my body. That's my daily prayer, those words. And I say daily prayer with a smile on my face because I don't do it every day. But it is the words that I use myself as my own personal ritual. I welcome this energy for the guidance it brings. And we had Eckhart Tolle's Stillness Speaks, which has been a fascinating book for me because I really struggle with Eckhart Tolle in general. And for somebody who talks about the removal of the ego, I find it quite hard to receive his ego, if I'm honest. However, this particular book speaks to me really well, really, really well. What is silence? Did you work that out when I asked you? Where is silence? Well, I think silence can be literally everywhere. Psalm 62 is a prayer. Traditionally, all faiths offer prayer and ritual as a method of attaching to silence. And of course, psalms can be choral and sung. And I didn't want to ruin it by singing it today, because I think you wouldn't have found it remotely peaceful if I'd have been singing it. Silence isn't about a detachment or the removal of ego for me. It's about finding a sense in our living. I'm going to return now to Sardar Lowe's mystery of wholeness. How do we get to this silence thing? What's it all about? Well, here's the thing. Are you ready for this? You've got to be outside yourself and inside yourself at the same time. So you've got to be able to reflect both ways. I think that's going to take a bit of practice. And it can be inconsistent. But how do we feel the border between that that's inside us and that that's outside us? Just so you know, I'm not sure I've got the answer, but I'm going to give it a bit of a go. So the first quality Sardar Lowe talks about is a pulsating motion. So this is a spiritual motion, it's not a spatial motion. It's a sense of touch, but not of a point of the body. And it's not a point of time either. It's just a sense of touch that just rests. And such a quality gives our sense of touch a different sensibility from that of being touched by a person. Pulsating. It's not being stroked. It's like a friendly phantom. Well, perhaps angel might be a bit better than saying friendly phantom, but you get the gist. So we've got this pulsating. And then this interiority felt exteriorly. I think you know what I mean by that. So that's a kind of whirling feeling because it's inside and outside. So for those of you who know the Sufi whirling dervishes, yeah? So that whirling feeling. So I feel free to have a whirl if you wish. It's not about that. It's about feeling that. A bit like a vortex, except it isn't a vortex. But it's got that feeling. Multiple penetrating things happening. And then the third quality of a current of silence is the touch, as if we slow down and we're folded inside ourselves, and then we can feel the layers. You might think you don't have many layers. I used to think that. I've got buckets of them. And it's not visual, it's imagined. So this is a description that is a feeling quality. It's experiential. It's not to be taken literally. There's a lot of things in this world that aren't to be taken literally. But if you take this feeling of pulsing and whirling, however that feels for you, and this layering, it's not about searching for it, thinking there's an answer. It's about noticing it. It's about noticing that it's there. And noticing that silence is complex. It's got complex characteristics. So if you accept life's guidance to notice the presences, the spirit beings, if you like, you know, the angels and the friendly phantom, however you want to describe it, these are the currents of silence. It's the spirit of life, the spirit of love. It's God. Silence is growth. In even the shortest of silence, then, we are not inactive, but we are approaching the fullness of our being. Amen. We will take the collection now, and Josh will play some music. Thank you. And we'll have the notices now, if that's okay, please.
Tea and coffee will be downstairs after the service. And again, just if you can bring it back up here quickly and we'll get to our questions and answers with Mark. Copies of Uskult magazine are on the table out in the porch, along with copies of Inspirations, the denominational magazine of the NSPCI. It's a great read, so please do pick it up. The service of reflection will be on Wednesday from 1:05 to 1:35, and that'll be led by Pamela. It's available both online and in the church. Next Saturday, the 22nd of March, Dirren is leading a workshop here on the correct use of the microphones in the church. Spaces are limited to 10, so if you can please email the secretary email address to get yourself booked in for that. The book club will meet on the last Wednesday of the month, and this month's book is So Long, See You Tomorrow by William Keepers Maxwell Jr. On Saturday the 12th of April, the Walking Club will visit Kilnacurra House in County Wexford. This is part of the Botanic Gardens and it's renowned for its rhododendron displays. And Bridget handed me some pots on my way in and I left them underneath my notes and then forgot to pick them up, so I will display them when I sit down in my seat again in a moment. But Bridget will be having a plant sale in early May and is looking for containers for plants, things like butter containers or ice cream tubs. So if you have anything in the freezer that needs finishing up, you can wash them out and bring them into Bridget. Thanks.
Thank you. And let's sing our final hymn, Let Love Continue Long, number 129. A relationship with silence allows expressions of divinity and transcendence that provide sustenance to all individuals, and for those who then wish the resources to act for a stronger, better world. Until we all meet again, please remain open to the beloved of your heart. Amen. Thank you.